الصبح بدا من طلعته والليل دجى من وفرته الله الله الله
من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والذين يرمون أزواجهم ولم يكن لهم شهداء إلا أنفسهم فشهادة أحدهم 4 شهادات بالله إنه لمن الصادقين. والخامسة أن لعنة الله عليه إن كان من الكاذبين. ويدرأ عنها العذاب أن تشهد 4 شهادات بالله إنه لمن الكاذبين. والخامسة أن غضب الله عليها إن كان من الصادقين. ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته وأن الله تواب حكيم. إن الذين جاءوا بالإفك عصبة منكم لا تحسبوه شرا لكم بل هو خير لكم. لكل امرئ منهم ما اكتسب من الإثم والذي تولى كبره منهم له عذاب عظيم. لولا إذ سمعتموه ظن المؤمنون والمؤمنات بأنفسهم خيرا وقالوا هذا إفك مبين. لولا جاءوا عليه 4 شهداء فإذ لم يأتوا بالشهداء فأولئك عند الله هم الكاذبون. ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته في الدنيا والآخرة لمسكم فيما أفضتم فيه عذاب عظيم. إذ تلقونه بألسنتكم وتقولون بأفواهكم ما ليس لكم به علم وتحسبونه هينا وهو عند الله عظيم. ولولا إذ سمعتموه قلتم ما يكون لنا أن نتكلم بهذا سبحانك هذا بهتان عظيم. يعظكم الله أن تعودوا لمثله أبدا إن كنتم مؤمنين. ويبين الله لكم الآيات والله عليم حكيم. إن الذين يحبون أن تشيع الفاحشة في الذين آمنوا لهم عذاب أليم في الدنيا والآخرة والله يعلم وأنتم لا تعلمون. ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته وأن الله رؤوف رحيم.
Today is the second session of Surah An-Nur. And inshallah, today we're going to be starting from ayah number 6. There are 2 subjects that are going to be discussed today. One is the issue of the li'an or mula'ana. Okay? And the other issue is the story of ifk, which was the slander that was placed on Aisha radiallahu anha, despite her innocence. So basically, these are the two things that will be discussed today. Firstly, what is li'an? Li'an is when a man, he finds his wife is having an affair with somebody and he catches them in the act. Now, the normal ruling for a person is that a person has to have, in that case, before making an accusation against her, he has to have 4 witnesses, okay, which we discussed last week, that if any person is making any accusation against a woman, or a woman is making an accusation against a man, there have to be 4 witnesses. And without 4 witnesses, there is no had upon the person, and in fact, the person who makes the accusation, they will be the ones that are punished instead. They will get the 80 lashes. But now, the situation with a person finding his wife in that kind of position, it is a very sensitive situation. And a person, he has seen that thing, it's going to be bothering him for the rest of his life. And married life will never be the same again, because he has this vision in front of his face, in his head, about his own wife being in that position with somebody else. And it is a situation where a man who has any kind of shame and any kind of jealousy, any kind of ghayra, he cannot tolerate it. So this was something that happened to one of the Sahaba. And he basically, you know, he was at a loss as to what he should do. And there are a few riwayat basically that discuss what actually happened. I will just basically mention one of them. It's mentioned that the story was about Hilal ibn Umayyah. And he was a Sahabi. And he basically accused his wife about being with another person named Shariq ibn Sahma. Shariq ibn Sahma. And the Prophet ﷺ, he said to him, Al-Bayyina, either you bring proof, the four witnesses, أو حدٌ في ظهرك, or you're going to get the 80 lashes. So he said, Ya Rasulallah, إذا رأى أحدنا على امرأته رجلا ينطلق يلتمس البينة. He said that if I see a man who is on top of my wife, where am I going to go and find proof? I mean, what kind of proof do you need for that? So the Prophet ﷺ said, Al-Bayyina wa illa haddun fi dhahrik. Bring the proof or you're going to get the 80 lashes. You're going to get the had on your back. So Hilal said, وَالَّذِي بَعَثَكَ بِالْحَقِّ إِنِّي لَصَادِقٍ. I swear by him who sent you with the truth, I am telling the truth. وَلَيَنْزِلَنَّ اللَّهُ مَا يُبْرِئُ ظَهْرِي مِنَ الْحَدِ. And most certainly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he will reveal certain verses which will free me from this punishment that you're telling me about. So then Jibreel alayhi salatu salam came and this ayah was revealed. وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ أَزْوَاجَهُمْ, the one that I've just recited at the beginning, until إِنْ كَانَ مِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ. So the Prophet ﷺ came to him or sent for him, and Hilal, he bore witness, and the Prophet ﷺ said that indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he knows that one of you are lying, so any of you two are going to make tawbah? فَهَلْ مِنْكُمَا تَائِبٌ. Is there any of you two going to make tawbah? ثُمَّ قَامَتْ فَشَهِدَتْ. And she stood up and she bore witness. Okay, and I'll explain the procedure in a minute, how the witnessing takes place. When she reached the fifth oath, she stopped. They stopped her, waqafuha, they stopped her and said, innaha mujiba. Remember this, that this fifth one, it is going to either give you the curse of Allah or the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or you will be punished. One of the two is going to happen. Okay, so she was about to stop. You know, some scholars say that she was about to stop from bearing witness against herself. Okay, I may as well explain the procedure right now. Otherwise, this the riwayah is not going to make sense. Okay, so basically what it is, a man accuses his wife, so he will appear before the judge, and the wife is there also. He will swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala four times. So that I swear that she did this, I swear by Allah she did this, I swear by Allah she did this, I swear by Allah she did this. And the fifth time, he will say, may the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon me if I'm lying. So four times he will take an oath that I saw her doing this, and the fifth time, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curse me if I am lying. And then she will stand up and she will either admit to the crime, she will admit to it, and then in that case she will get the punishment of rajm. And if she does not, then she will bear testimony by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. She said, I swear by Allah I did not do it, I swear by Allah I did not do it, I swear by Allah I did not do it, I swear by Allah I did not do it. And then the fifth time she will say that if I did it, then may the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon me. Or if he is telling the truth, may the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon me. Okay, so then what the judge will do is he will separate them. He will separate them and it will be counted as a divorce. It will be counted as a divorce, but she will get her mahar and all the rest of the things, but it will be like a legal divorce. Okay, so basically what happens is that there is an escape for the husband who cannot live with that same wife anymore, who basically it's in the back of his head, what he's having nightmares, he's having sleepless nights about what he's seen. So obviously he cannot be with her anymore. So this is a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has an escape that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made for them, that they can basically separate from each other and it will be a divorce. He can make the accusation and he will not be punished for making the accusation, and she will not be punished if she says that I didn't do it. But ultimately the judge will separate both of them, and this is known as mula'ana or li'an. Okay, so I was going through that riwayah, and the fifth time when she is about to say, may the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon me if he is telling the truth, then she hesitated for a bit and people thought for a minute that she is going to admit to the crime. And then she said, no, I cannot put my people to shame. So in other words, she kind of admitted it, and then she then said that may the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon me if he's lying. So the fifth time she actually said that, so then the procedure was completed and they were separated. And she ultimately had a child, and the child actually, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he foretold that if the child has such and such features, then he is a legitimate child and belongs to the father. And if it has such and such features, then it belongs to the person that she committed the act with. And it turned out to be that it looked like the Prophet ﷺ described, that it was according to how the Prophet ﷺ said, that it was like the person that she had committed the act with. So that actually went on to happen. So this is the procedure of li'an. And now when I do the translation, you will understand the whole procedure. وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ أَزْوَاجَهُمْ, those people that accuse their wives, وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُمْ شُهَدَاءُ إِلَّا أَنفُسُهُمْ, and there is no witness for them except themselves. فَشَهَادَةُ أَحَدِهِمْ أَرْبَعُ شَهَادَةٍ بِاللَّهِ, then that one person will bear witness four witnessings by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning he will take an oath four times. What will he say? إِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الصَّادِقِينَ, that indeed he is telling the truth. وَالْخَامِسَةُ أَنَّ لَعْنَةَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ إِنْ كَانَ مِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ, and the fifth time he will say, may the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon him if he is lying. So this was his side, this is his testimony. وَيَدْرَأُ عَنْهَا الْعَذَابَ, and the punishment will be taken away from her. أَنْ تَشْهَدَ أَرْبَعَ شَهَادَاتٍ بِاللَّهِ, that she bears witness four witnessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning she takes an oath four times. إِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الْكَاذِبِينَ, indeed he is lying, he is not telling the truth. وَالْخَامِسَةَ أَنَّ غَضَبَ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهَا, and the fifth time she will bear witness that may the anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon her if he is telling the truth. ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته وأن الله تواب حكيم, and if it wasn't for the fadl, the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you, and his rahmah, and indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is tawwab, he is forgiving, meaning accepting of tawbah, and he is wise. So this escape route is a fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you. This is a blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you, that he is provided for you to get you out of this very, very difficult situation. Now the next thing is mentioned in these verses is the story of ifk, the slander that took place against Aisha radiallahu anha. And the wisdom behind that is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he made the honor and preserved the honor of pure and chaste women until the Day of Judgment because of the small sacrifice that Aisha radiallahu anha had to make. So what is the actual story behind it? There are basically, if you remember last week, I mentioned that this surah, Surah An-Nur, was revealed at a time when the mushrikeen had basically given up hope of trying to defeat the Muslims. And now they basically provoked the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, and the other enemies of Islam into assassinating the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his family. And one of these things, they found a way of doing that when this situation took place. And the person who was basically responsible for this was Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, who was the instigator behind all of this. Okay, so the story is, Aisha radiallahu anha, she narrates herself. She says that when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he used to go on any expedition, he used to make qura'a between his wives. Qura'a meaning he used to draw lots between his wives that who should go with him. And this is actually the preferred method, the ruling. If a person is in a polygamous situation, he has more than one wife, then he has the choice as to who will go with her. Okay, it's up to him who will go with him on a journey. But the best thing is that he draws lots between the wives so that, you know, it seems fair for everybody. And in this case, what happened was on one expedition, the expedition of Bani al-Mustalaq, the Qura'a came out in favor of Aisha radiallahu anha. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she was with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the rules of hijab had been revealed. And basically there was separation between men and women taking place. And while she was in a journey, she was traveling in a hawdaj, which is basically the carrier that was put on a camel. And it is enclosed from all sides with curtains or some kind of doors or something in which you cannot see inside. So she was traveling in this hawdaj. Now on one place they encamped when they had got close to Medina. This was actually what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do. Whenever he used to get close to Medina, he used to encamp outside Medina, a few miles out. And this was the wisdom behind it, was that the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would be made aware that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is coming, and they would basically prepare themselves in terms of, you know, making up or food or whatever it was that needed to be done. So this was what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did at that point. He camped, and they camped there all night. The next morning, Aisha radiallahu anha, she went out of her hawdaj to answer the call of nature. She went a little bit far away, and on her way back, she found that she was missing a necklace. She was missing the necklace, and when she basically went back to look for it, and then, you know, when she came back, she found that the whole caravan had left. Now she was stuck, so she decided to stay in the same place, knowing that when the people find out that she's missing, they're going to retrace their steps and come back and pick her up again. So she stayed in the same place. Now it so happened that a person named Safwan ibn Mu'attal al-Sulami, he used to follow the caravan at a distance, picking up, you know, any things that people had left behind. This was his responsibility. He came and he saw that the place where the caravan had been, there's a figure of a woman lying down. She basically had gone to sleep. And, you know, basically he knew her from the times when the hijab, the ayat of hijab had not been revealed. So he knew her, recognized her, and he basically cried out, "It's the wife of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." And she woke up when she heard the voice. She covered herself, and then Safwan, he put his camel next to her. She got onto the camel, and Safwan took her back into Medina. And it so happened that the caravan had not even realized that she was missing. It was basically a short amount of time. So in any case, what happened was, Abdullah ibn Ubay ibn Salul, he was the one, he started these rumors. Oh, they were alone for such an amount of time. Who knows what they've been doing? A'udhu billah. So this was the rumor that he started circulating, and unfortunately many people got mixed up in it. Of course the hypocrites, they were mixed up in it themselves, but even some of the Muslims, they also started spreading these rumors and started believing what they were hearing. So Aisha radiallahu anha, she's completely oblivious to what is going on around her. When she got back from this trip, she actually fell ill. And she was ill for about a month or so, and then one day, she didn't know nothing. She didn't know anything that was going on around her. So one day she goes out of the house, and she is with a friend of hers, and one of the women, she was basically the mother of Mistah, and she tripped up. She tripped up, and when she tripped up, she made a curse against Mistah. "May Mistah be destroyed." So Aisha was kind of taken aback. She said, "Mistah is one of the people who attended the Battle of Badr. You know, why are you making such a curse against him?" So the mother of Mistah, she said, "Don't you know what people have been saying about you? And Mistah is also involved in this." So she said, "No, what's going on?" So then the mother of Mistah, she told everything to Aisha radiallahu anha, and now she's already sick. She goes back home and she becomes even more sick, and she cries the whole night, stays awake the whole night, thinking, you know, what is going on. And in the meantime, while she's been sick, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has not shown the kind of affection to her that he normally showed while she was sick. So he used to come in, ask the parents or the whoever was taking care of her, how's she doing, and then he used to leave. Whereas while she was usually sick, he used to come in and be more affectionate toward her and take care of her. So this had put her into some kind of doubt as to what's going on. Why is the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam acting this way? And when she found out what Mistah's mother had told her, then she realized this was the reason that was happening. So in any case, after a while, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, he came to Aisha radiallahu anha. In the meantime, it is mentioned that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he called Ali ibn Abi Talib and Usama bin Zayd to him and asked for their opinion. Usama bin Zayd radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I could never imagine that Aisha radiallahu anha could be involved in something like this, you know, and you know, this is something that it's completely impossible, I cannot. But Ali ibn Abi Talib, he never accused of anything, but he said, you know, Ya Rasulullah, not because he was accusing her, but he said, you know, there are so many women out there, Ya Rasulullah, if you have any issue with her, just divorce her and marry somebody else. So, you know, there was kind of, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was getting mixed opinions from people. And so he was not completely relaxed about this whole issue either. So ultimately, it is mentioned, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came to visit Aisha radiallahu anha, and this was in the presence of both the parents of Aisha radiallahu anha, Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, and his wife. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said to her that, you know, there are two situations. You know, and you've heard about these accusations that are flying against you. Either you are innocent, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He will inform me about your innocence, or you have done something wrong and you should make tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is forgiving and He is merciful. So you should ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and repent to Him. So Aisha radiallahu anha, very bravely she said that, inshallah, Allah will reveal something about me, and He will reveal verses about my innocence. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said herself that I didn't and I couldn't even imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would reveal verses about me in the Quran. I thought maybe, I knew that he would reveal my innocence, but I thought maybe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam might get a dream or something. But ultimately what happened, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He revealed 10 verses about me. So it's mentioned that just after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had talked to her in this way, he started the wahi started, and people could see and realize whenever the wahi was coming, they could see that it was coming. He used to basically become silent, and he used to start sweating, and they knew that the revelation that was taking place was going to be about Aisha radiallahu anha, and they were basically holding their breath. Aisha radiallahu anha was completely relaxed, thinking, you know, this is going to be my innocence. She was feeling very comfortable and very relaxed. And of course, when the revelation came down, 10 verses were revealed about her innocence. And after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed her, he said, "Abshiri ya Aisha, amma Allahu azza wa jal faqad bari'aki." Be happy, O Aisha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has proclaimed your innocence. So the parents of Aisha radiallahu anha said, "Go and thank the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam." Now look at Aisha now. She's now, she's the victor right now, and her innocence has been proclaimed. She said, "No, I'm not going to thank the Prophet. You know, I'm going to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who proclaimed my innocence. Even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't believe me." So this is again a wife who has basically been released of something, this huge burden, not because she had any kind of, you know, rudeness or intolerance towards the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but because it was her honor at stake, and she was basically perturbed and uncomfortable with the fact that even the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given her this 50-50 message that either you're innocent or you are guilty. So, you know, no, proclaim my innocence. You should believe me, you're my husband. Okay, so the question is, why then the Prophet ﷺ didn't proclaim her innocence from the first day so that the whole rumor could have been finished? Because the normal circumstance, the normal result of a person who is close to a relative proclaiming the innocence would be, well, you're her husband, you would say that anyway. The parents, well, you're her parents, you would say she's innocent. Okay, we know what she's like. Okay, that's the normal response to the parents or the husband sticking up for the wife or the child. Okay, so that's why they had to remain silent and let the whole thing take its course. The Prophet ﷺ, he could have, from the first day, he could have called the people that were involved in this and had them beheaded, and nobody would have complained. Nobody would have been able to stand up against the Prophet ﷺ, but he stood his ground and he was patient. And ultimately, the people, there were three people that were the Muslims who were called in, and they were given the had. They were given the 80 lashes, and amongst them was unfortunately Hassan bin Thabit, who was the poet of the Prophet ﷺ. But look at the character of Aisha radiallahu anha. Even afterwards, when she was reminded about what he had done, she used to say no. When people used to accuse the Prophet ﷺ, the mushrikeen used to say bad things about the Prophet, he used to say poetry in his defense. Okay, but you know, these people were Sahaba and Sahabiyat. There were two Muslim men and one Muslim woman who were called in, and they were given the 80 lashes for making the accusations against Aisha radiallahu anha. So the akhlaq and the manners of the Aisha radiallahu anha, she forgave him. And any innocent person can get involved and be part of something like this, especially if there's kind of like a wave of rumors, you know, and people who are gullible and naive. And unfortunately, the most pious people are the most gullible and the most naive. Okay, remember this. And that's why the munafiqeen, they used to say about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa minhum alladhina yaquluna huwa udhun, he is udhun, meaning he is all ears, he listens to whatever we say. So the munafiqeen, they used to say, okay, I'm sick, I cannot go in battle, okay, go ahead, go home and take a rest. So that's what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam always used to believe people. Okay, that's why, because of his piety, because of his chastity, because of his good heart, he was a person who was honorable. And if somebody told him something, he used to believe them, and he never used to question their authenticity and their truth. So these Sahaba, they got caught up in this wave of rumors, and they started believing it, and they started also rumor mongering, and these were the ones that were punished. As for the hypocrites, they were not even punished. In this whole episode, the munafiqeen, they got off scot-free, and they were not even punished. Then basically they were the instigators, and basically once they instigated, they move into the background and light the fire and then just move away and let everybody else take the blame for it. So in any case, this was the story, Qissatul Ifk. Why did it happen? The verses that come after today's lesson, next week, you will find out why. Basically, the chastity of women until the Day of Judgment is protected, that you should not raise your fingers and point your fingers at a pure and a chaste woman and accuse her of doing something that she hasn't done, because if you do that, then you will be punished. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to punish you in the hereafter. You will be punished in this world also with the 80 lashes, and that inshallah will be covered next week. But I'm just going to go through the translation of the verses which were revealed about Aisha radiallahu anha. Okay, 10 verses which were revealed to proclaim the innocence of Aisha radiallahu anha. Okay, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ جَاءُوا بِالْإِفْكِ عُصْبَةٌ مِّنْكُمْ لَا تَحْسَبُوهُ شَرًّا لَكُمْ بَلْ هُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَا اكْتَسَبَ مِنَ الْإِثْمِ وَالَّذِي تَوَلَّى كِبْرَهُ مِّنْهُمْ لَهُ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, those people that brought the slander, they are a group from amongst you. Do not think that this is bad for you, but in fact this is good for you. So just imagine, Aisha radiallahu anha, she went through all this torture, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, don't think it's bad for you. This is good for you. Why? Because a revelation came down to protect the chastity of women until the Day of Judgment, which we will discuss inshallah in next week's lesson. That is the khair, the goodness that came out of it. لِكُلِّ امْرِئٍ مِّنْهُمْ مَكْتَسَبَ مِنَ الْإِثْمِ. For all the men that were involved in this, for them is whatever they earned from the sin. وَالَّذِي تَوَلَّى كِبْرَهُ مِّنْهُمْ لَهُ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. As for the person who adopted the major thing from amongst it, meaning the instigators of this and the people who did this with the bad intention, for them there will be a huge punishment. Okay, so for the people that did what they did in the rumor mongering, they will get the punishment and they have a sin, but the people who did the major portion of it, they will get a very painful punishment. They basically the instigators, and referring to the munafiqeen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Muslims and says, لَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ. Why is it, when you heard this, why didn't you, the mu'mineen and mu'minat, the believing men and believing women, why didn't they think in their hearts, khair? Why didn't they, instead of thinking the shar, the evil, why didn't they think a good thing? وَقَالُوا هَذَا إِفْكُمْ مُبِينٌ. And why didn't they say, this is an open slander? So this should be the first instance, is that when somebody spreads a rumor against somebody, the first thing should be that, no, this is a slander and we're not going to listen to it, and we should not be spreading it. Cut it right here. Stop it right here. لَوْلَا جَاءُوا عَلَيْهِ بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَاءَ. When the people made the accusation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, why didn't they bring forth four witnesses? Why didn't they bring four witnesses? فَإِذْ لَمْ يَأْتُوا بِالشُّهَدَاءِ. Because if they did not bring witnesses, فَأُولَٰئِكَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ هُمُ الْكَاذِبُونَ, then they are, in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, liars. So, if you're making an accusation, you better have four witnesses present who saw the actual thing happening. And if you do not, then you're a liar. And as a liar, you're going to have the 80 lashes that have been mentioned in last week's lesson. وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ لَمَسَّكُمْ فِي مَا أَفَضْتُمْ فِيهِ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. If it wasn't for the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you and His rahmah in this dunya, in this world and in the hereafter, then because of what you had got involved in, because of what you had got yourself immersed in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have touched you. لَمَسَّكُمْ. He would have touched you with His punishment. With His huge punishment. So if it wasn't for the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His rahmah, then He would have punished you for all of this thing that went on. إِذْ تَلَقَّوْنَهُ بِأَلْسِلَتِكُمْ. When you accepted it with your tongues. Meaning, you heard something and it basically rolled off your tongues. You heard it and it was, you started spreading these rumors too. وَتَقُولُونَ بِأَفْوَاهِكُمْ. And you were saying with your mouths, مَا لَيْسَ لَكُمْ بِهِ عِلْمٍ, about that which you have no knowledge. وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا. And you are thinking it to be very light. You thought it to be something very small and menial, something very minor. وَتَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. And it was in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it was something that was huge. And it is something huge when you are accusing a chaste woman of dishonoring herself and doing something dishonorable. You know, she is a person who will not be able to tolerate it. And in many cases, if an honorable woman is, you know, accused in this way, many women, they would commit suicide, because it's something they cannot, an honorable woman cannot tolerate. So when it's something that's so huge, when it's something that is such a major deal, and you think it is something very light, why did you do that? وَلَوْلَا إِذْ سَمِعْتُمُوهُ قُلْتُمْ مَا يَكُونُ لَنَا أَن نَتَكَلَّمَ بِهَذَا. Why didn't you, when you heard this thing, why didn't you say, it is not appropriate for us that we should talk about this? سُبْحَانَكَ هَذَا بُهْتَانٌ عَظِيمٌ. Oh Allah, you're pure, and this is a very huge buhtan. This is a huge accusation. Buhtan is when you make an accusation against somebody which is not true. يعظكم الله أن تعودوا لمثله أبدا إن كنتم مؤمنين. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advises you never to return to something like this if in fact you are people of iman. If you have iman, then never do anything like this. Never bring about such type of slander against honorable women. وَيُبَيِّنُ اللَّهُ لَكُمُ الْآيَاتِ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He explains to you the signs. وَاللَّهُ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is all-knowing and He is all-wise. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُحِبُّونَ أَن تَشِيعَ الْفَاحِشَةُ فِي الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَهُمْ عَذَابٌ أَلِيمٌ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. Indeed, those people that love to spread al-fahisha, evil and corruption in the people of iman, for them there will be a very painful punishment in the dunya, in this world, wal-akhirah, and the hereafter. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows and you do not know. وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ. If it wasn't for the fadl of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it wasn't for the blessing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon you and His rahmah. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ رَؤُوفٌ رَحِيمٌ. And indeed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is ra'uf, He is compassionate, rahim, He is merciful. So basically this was the qissatul ifk. And next week will be verses related to it and the good outcome of the qissatul ifk that will be discussed in the next few verses, inshallah, in next week's lesson, which will be on Thursday, back to normal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq to understand what is being said and heard.
خالق إلا هو الله ربي لا أريد سواه هل في الوجود خالق إلا هو فالشمس والقمر من أنوارها